The scripture teaches that we can live godly lives in an ungodly world. We talked about that last time we were together, and I'm going to pick up on that subject. The theme from the verses that we are presently studying in 2 Peter is given in verse 9. Listen to it as I quote. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust for punishment in the day of judgment. God knows how to do two things. He knows how to take people who profess His name and are seeking to follow Him. He knows how to deliver us out of all of the wickedness of this world, from the temptations that we face, and give us the power through His Spirit to live a godly life in this world. And this is up to Him. He knows how to deal with the ungodly people, and He says that He will someday call them to judgment. And I will leave that up to Him. I'm not going to judge people, because God can see their hearts and I can't. And so we'll just commit that to Him. There are two people in the text that we have been studying that illustrate how God delivers godly people out of ungodly situations. Last week we talked about Noah. This week we're going to talk about Lot. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. The text that we are presently studying as we work our way through the book of 2 Peter is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, and this morning we will focus on God delivering Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, by the way, before I even go and read the text and we talk about Lot, I'm going to be honest with you. Lot is a little bit difficult to understand. You say, well, why do you say that? Because the Bible says that he was a man who knew God personally. To which I say, what in the world is he doing living in a wicked place like Sodom? And he chose it. 2 Peter 2, verse 6. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward, people like us, would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of those wicked people. For that righteous man dwelling among them was vexed or tormented. His righteous soul was tormented from day to day by what? Because what he saw and he heard of their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and secondly, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Now, Lot is going to serve as a warning to all of us. When I studied this passage, which I've been to many times over all of these years, I will tell you, once again, the Spirit of God, afresh and anew, speaks to my heart. There's a warning that we all get. Stop and think about the consequences of what you're doing. Now, in order for us to understand what Peter is talking about here, Lot, did you notice it says that even though we may not read this in the Genesis account, this says, yeah, he was there, but in his soul, he was distressed and vexed by all of the filthiness he saw around him. Can you identify with that? I've had conversations already this morning with people who said to me, Pastor Lancaster, what in the world? We are here. I am hearing more things, even from young people, grade school kids, I never thought I would ever hear. What is going on in our world with all the filthiness? Well, this message, I think, this morning will help all of us so that you can see why Lot is a warning. I want us to go back to the historical record of Lot. Would you turn now in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. We will begin there. Genesis chapter 13. Now, when I turn to Genesis chapter 13, I often share with you some of the things that I have written in my Bible. And over chapter 13, I have a statement written. You might write this over this chapter. And if you don't have time to write it down, tattoo it on your conscience, okay? God allows us to make the choices, but he fixes the consequences. Wherever you are right now, just remember, you have choices, but God fixes the consequences of those choices. First, I want you to notice that Lot simply looked toward Sodom. We're in chapter 13. Let's begin at verse 10. The context is from verse 9, where the whole land is before them, and Abraham and Lot are having a discussion. And Abraham basically says, I mean, if you want this part, fine, I'll go the other part. If you want this, I'll take the other. And Lot lifted his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Watered everywhere like the garden of the Lord, it was like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. And here's what I notice. Lot looked at what he saw, and he looked at the plain, the particular area, a new area for his home, and he measured it by what he had seen in Egypt, and he said, boy, now this would be a great piece of property. The value will probably go up. This would be a great place to live. This is like Egypt. Interesting. You can take Lot out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of Lot. And next to this verse in my Bible, I wrote down Psalm 101, verse 3. And I'm going to quote it to you. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. That is a good verse for all of us to remember. And I remember I memorized that verse when I was a boy. And there were times in my life where I could hear that verse. Do not set any evil thing before your eyes, Jerry. Lot looked. And what he saw, he liked. So he looked towards Sodom. Hang on. Then he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Notice, if you will, it says, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the garden of the Lord. It was like the land of Egypt. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other, Lot and Abram. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom, or as some translations say, pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. He lifted his eyes toward a piece of property toward Sodom. Now he pitches his tent toward Sodom. By the way, that's where I got the message title for today. You say, well, I didn't even see what it is. My message today is called Living in the Suburbs of Sodom. That's where he is. But look at verse 13. God says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. They were people who lived ungodly lives. And I have a verse I want you to write down. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. It says, ask the Lord Jesus to help you live as you should, and make no provision for the passions of your sinful nature. Don't do something that makes it easier for you, your sinful nature, to take control. There are some things that I don't do, not because it's sinful in and of itself, but I know that if I go there or I do that, it is going to make provision for my old nature to take over next week or whenever. God says, do not make any provision for your flesh, your old nature. Hello, Lot. Lot, do you realize you just didn't look towards Sodom? You now have pitched your tent in the suburbs of Sodom. Lot, do not make any provision for the lust of your flesh. I don't know where you are in your spiritual life. I try to share messages from God's Word, but there may be a man sitting here, and you may be saying to yourself, Pastor doesn't know it, but boy, that verse is, I needed to hear that today. Because I just made a decision to do whatever. And that decision may not be wrong, but it might make provision for the lust of your flesh. I wonder if Lot realized the effect that this was going to have on his family. I don't think so. Mom and Dad, could I drop a thought into your heart? What you condone in moderation, your children will excuse in excess. That's what I found to be true. By the way, unless you think I'm pressing the text here and I'm making too many assumptions about Lot, hang on. Lot looked toward Sodom, decided he was going to pitch his tent toward Sodom. In chapter 19, he moves into Sodom. You're kidding. Would you turn to Genesis 19? You say, I'm surprised. Yeah, I am too. Lot moves into Sodom in Genesis 19. The Bible says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. By the way, I don't think they look like angels. When we study Scripture, that's a whole other study of its own. But I think when, you know, angels are spirits, you can't see them. But there are times when they made themselves visible in some way, whether they looked like a man or whatever, I don't know. But anyway, the angels were present. And the angels came to Sodom at evening. And Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. What? Now, you don't know what that means, probably. Let me tell you what the gate was. The gate of a city back in biblical days was where the official business of the city took place. It was where the governmental leaders met. It's where decisions were made about the city. We call it City Hall. Lot is now, is he the mayor of Sodom? He's sitting at the gate. He's sitting in City Hall. Maybe he's just the city manager. What in the world are you thinking, Lot? And I know I've talked to people, and I've said to myself, and you know, I don't run after people and all the time. I try to preach, teach the word, and live my life, and let the Holy Spirit. But sometimes when there's a conversation, I want to say to myself, "What are you thinking? I mean, really, what are you thinking about doing that? Don't you realize? Why are you there? Or why did you get involved in that? What are you thinking, Lot? Well, I just looked that way. I mean, it looked like a nice area of the world. And yeah, and then you pitched a tent or built a house there, right? In the suburbs? Yeah, but I mean, come on. There's nothing wrong with living in the suburbs until you flip the chapters over. Oh, now you've moved in. Oh, you didn't just move in. Now you're a leader in Sodom? And look what God said about Sodom, about the kind of lifestyles that the people were living. I can't imagine. So there he is at the gate. And I wrote this across chapter 19 in my Bible. I'm giving you all my notes. Nobody breaks God's laws. Nobody. We break ourselves against God's laws. We don't break God's laws and really get away with it. We break ourselves against God's laws when we don't obey. And so, Lot looked, he pitched, he moved in, and now he is warned to get out. Verse 12, Genesis 19. Then the men said to Lot, you have anybody else that lives here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. My goodness. And get this. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters. And he said, listen, we need to get out of this place because God's going to destroy it. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. They looked at him, in other words, and they said, "You know, are you out of your mind? So God is going to destroy a city." "Sure. Right. You got to be kidding me." And they laughed at him. His sons-in-law, married to his daughters, laugh at him. You don't think we believe that religious trash, do you, about God being a God of judgment? Nah. Did you hear what Lot said? That crazy old man. His sons-in-law had no conscience against the lifestyle of the Sodomites. And I wrote this verse down. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Evil companions corrupt good morals." Do you know why it's right for you, mom and dad, to shield your children from dirty kids or wickedness? And don't you feel bad about it. Because you know what I'm hearing nowadays? I mean, I get the flow of some of this because parents come to me. I had someone call me long distance this week to talk to me. They'd known me from years ago. And they said, "Pastor Lancaster, this is what all of our friends are telling us. And I just wanted to talk to somebody that I thought would give me the truth from the Bible. Is it wrong for me to be shielding my children?" And she named the kinds of things, which you can imagine. And I said, they said, "You know, you can't shield them from the world. You just need to, don't worry about that. Just let it go." I said, "Oh, no." And I gave her that verse. I said, "Write down 1 Corinthians 15:33," and I quoted it on the phone. And she goes, wait, let me get my pen. She said, What was that verse? I've never heard that. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Your kids have good morals? Keep them away from dirty kids. So, his sons-in-law didn't have any conscience. I wonder about his daughters. And then, look at verse 15. "When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, 'Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here.'" These would be the unmarried daughters. "Lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they brought him outside, he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you or stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains or you're going to be destroyed." Drop down to verse 23. "The sun had risen," verse 23, "upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. And then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heavens, of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground." Wow. Oh, but Lot's wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You say, well, because she did exactly what God told her not to do. God clearly told them, "Do not look back." Now, you can argue all you want. All I'm going to say to you is, that's what God says. Sometimes when you talk with somebody and they're asking for counsel, I just say, now listen, this, I even preface it, this may not be what you want to hear. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I know you said you wanted me to tell you what I think. Let me read a passage, a verse that answers your question. The best way, by the way, if any of you are going to study to be Christian counselors, would you keep something in mind? The best way to be a Christian counselor is for when people come to you, you tell them and show them what God's word says about what they're asking you, not your opinion. That's good counsel. And so I simply look at this. God pulled them not to look back. And she did. Her heart, I think there was a portion of her heart back there. The two virgin daughters. I'm going to spare you. Shame on you, Lot. You should never have been living there. What your daughters that left Sodom with you, what they eventually later will do is sickening. I think they were influenced by the morality of Sodom, and it affected them. Like I say, you can read the rest of that some other time. I mean, honestly, I'm telling you, you say, well, this is a pretty serious message. It is a serious message. I mean, how am I supposed to take this text and not make it serious? But it serves as a warning to me. I want to be sure that I keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus and my heart following him. So verse 27 says, Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain. And when Abram looks over in that direction, he sees the smoke of the land going up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Oh, turn to Luke 17. In case you're thinking, well, that's an old passage, an old history, and how does that relate to us today? Look at Luke 17. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, Jesus is speaking. They have asked him about the future. Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Or Jesus just said, I just want you to know, you're asking me, what's it going to be like just before I come back? Listen, everybody. What's it going to be like just before I come back? Well, let me tell you something. You know what it was like in the days of Noah? Yeah, that was last week. We talked about that. As it was, so shall it be. Oh. We're going to face what they faced? Oh, read on. And then he says, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Hang on. Likewise, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, drank, bought, sold, planted, built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Jesus said, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It'll be just, that's the way it'll be just before I come back. As it was in the days of Lot, Jesus said, that's the way it's going to be just before I come back. The old preachers used to say to me, sometimes I didn't understand it, they used to say, you know what? The worse it gets, the better I feel, because I know the Lord's coming soon. And you know what they mean by that. It's just they were being humorous. But the point is this, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. And when we look around and we see what we have never faced, what we have never had the morality or immorality as a standard in America ever in our history that we have today. Is it worse? Yes, it's worse. Have people always been sinful? Of course. But is it worse? Yes. We didn't have courts that were saying certain things that are wrong or against nature are now normal. No. It is worse. And I can hear Jesus as it was in the days of Noah and Lot. So shall it be just before I come back. Take heart. And then I read on. Verse 31. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, don't come down and take them away. Don't go back and get anything. And likewise, the one who's in the field, don't go back to the field. Remember Lot's wife. And that just sort of popped off the page. So for any of you, don't look back. Do you remember what God saved you from? You say, oh yeah, Pastor, it was a long time ago, but I'll just tell you, don't look back. Don't go back. You keep living a godly life. Live pure. Live holy. Please the Lord. If Jesus would hear, he'd probably step up the pulpit. Maybe I'm sermonizing. He might just say one thing. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. And so Jesus describes in those final verses here, he says, there'll be two in the field, one will be taken, the other left, and so forth. And they say to him in verse 37, now where, Lord? And he said to them, wherever the body is, the eagles will be gathered together. Let me just restate it. Wherever there is putrefaction, the vultures gather. Did you ever drive down the road? And you wouldn't have known that there was anything dead over there off the road, except you look way down the road and you see these vultures circling. I guarantee you there's putrefaction down there. And what Jesus said is, this civilization, just before I come back, is a rotting corpse. And where there is moral decay, judgment falls. So let's live godly in a wicked world. Our Father, through the power of the Spirit of God, as we keep our eyes upon you and our nose in this book, we, as your people, can live godly in this filthy world. Help us to remember the warning that we've received from you, Lord Jesus, today about Lot and his wife and the people of Sodom. And help us to walk a pure walk, a clear path, and not compromise, not to look, not to pitch, and God forbid, not to move in. Come out from among them, you said, and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Help us to live separated lives in Jesus' name. Amen.